So I wasn't sure what all we were going to, how long we would have tonight. So I had a short devotion prepared. It's in Acts chapter 28. So if you want to turn there, it's just a few short verses at the beginning of that. And so while you're turning there, let me ask a blessing on His Word. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for what we've already seen of Your hand move tonight. Lord, with the testimonies about how You've blessed, how You've drawn us, how You've led us to where You want us. Lord, the way You care about us and love us. Lord, the things You do for us are all because You love us. Lord, You created us to bring honor and glory to You. Lord, help us to fulfill that purpose tonight. Teach us, give us clarity and understanding in Your Word of what it is that we can do to glorify You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Now, Acts chapter 28, of course, follows 27. Just in case you didn't know, Mr. Ford, it's been a while since you taught your math class, so I thought I'd throw that out there. But in 27, it talks about this storm that Paul went through as he's on his way to Rome. And this storm was 15 days long, at least 15 days long. He's in this storm, and it ends up with a shipwreck. But as terrible as it's been, in the middle of that storm, God said, nobody's going to perish. I'm going to give everybody on this ship, if they will just stay with the ship, I'm going to spare their lives. The key is staying with the ship. And so it goes for 15 days, this storm, and it doesn't turn out, like we said this morning, it doesn't turn out like they thought it would. I'm sure when Paul thought that, you know, everything's going to be okay, he was thinking it would go into the harbor, but God says, no, you're going to lose the ship, but everybody's going to be safe. And so for 15 days, they end up throwing their food overboard and they wreck on a sandbar some of them have to swim on planks to the shore. Others swim. Everybody survives. And immediately in my mind, I think, man, the storm's over. Not so much. Let's go into 28. It says, now when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. So when the natives saw this creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, he was a god. As we look at that passage, I want to stop right there for just a moment, because the author here says they had escaped. They had escaped one storm, a really bad storm. But if we keep reading, it says it's still raining. Sometimes God transplants us out of one storm, still in the rain, still in the cold, to a different place. I was talking to a young lady this morning before church, and she was talking about having a rough week this past week, and I wasn't trying to be rude. I wasn't trying to be funny. But she had told me about three or four things. And she said, it's surely got to let up pretty soon. And I said, it doesn't say that in the book. And I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to be serious. Because sometimes when we get out of one storm, we go right into another. Because that's when people watch. And that's what I want us to understand tonight. As Paul and all these other prisoners and even the soldiers and the sailors come swimming into shore, it's still raining and it's still cold. But they're received by some nice people. And it calls them natives, and that doesn't mean that they were unruly people. That just means that was the native people of that island. And so they had built them a fire, and Paul, because he's helping out, he gets a bundle of sticks, and he's going to throw this bundle of sticks on the fire. And out of that bundle of sticks comes a snake. You can call it a viper, you can call it a serpent, you call it whatever you want, it's a snake, okay? And right there, if I'm Paul, I fall over into the fire. Because I'd have had a heart attack. It wouldn't have mattered what kind of snake it was. I mean, there's three kinds of snakes, and I may have told you this before. There's a live snake, there's a dead snake, and there's a stick that looks like a snake. And they're all deadly to me. And so, as Paul is coming out of a 15-day storm, and God says, just stay with the ship. And he does. And God brings him to shore, and God fulfills his promise. And then it's still cold. It's still raining. And when it seems like, okay, I'm finally, the fire's going to fight off the cold. I can maybe put something over to me to keep the rain off, but if that's not bad enough, a viper comes out and bites me. And it's hanging from his hand, it tells us. And again, that's something that could not happen for me, that it would be hanging there. Long enough for the natives to just watch it hang there. It's hanging on his hand. And they have time to talk about this, that no doubt this man is a murderer. People are watching you go through the storms you go through. When Paul was on that boat, the sailors were watching. He's telling them, God told me we'd make it through. Stay with the ship. Sailors tried to leave. They tried to jump overboard, take a little lifeboat and get away. And he said, nope, stay with the ship. Throw the rest of the food overboard. People are watching what he's doing. They're listening to what he's saying. And everything happens as God said it would. And then as he's helping out, he's putting the wood on the fire, the natives are sitting back and they see this snake by him. And they immediately make their judgment because that guy's going through a bad situation. He must be a bad guy. The world today wants to judge, and sometimes even Christians want to judge and say, man, if I'm going through all of this bad stuff, I must have done something wrong. They want to say that because of your situation, you deserve that. That's not the example we get from the Bible. Paul was doing what he was supposed to do, and this snake bit him. It ends up giving glory and honor to God because of what he does. But people want to judge based on how they see you make it through the storm and how they see you react to the things that happen to you that are bad. Now, the world wants to automatically judge and say, oh, must be a bad person. That cannot affect how you and I react to that bad situation. And so as we look at this, understand, first of all, that they're watching. Know that when you're going through a storm, they're watching. As they watch, they're judging. They're judging why you go through that storm, and they're judging how you respond to that storm. Is it fair? No. But they're doing that. Next, we look at what the people are looking for. These natives, they're looking for the worst. Here's this guy, swims up on shore. He's a good guy. He's helped. Nobody else that it tells us was picking up wood to put on the fire, but Paul's helping. The natives built the fire. Paul is bringing sticks. He's putting them up on the fire. So he seems like a good guy. He's helping out. But immediately when they see something wrong, they judge and look for the worst to happen. He must be a murderer. He must be a murderer. Because he's going to end up falling over dead. Because even though he escaped the sea, God's going to judge him because he's a bad person. You notice how the world has preconceived ideas about a God that they don't even serve, is acting and reacting. These natives weren't followers of God. Not to this point. But they already know how God's going to react. Well, God's going to judge this man. See, that's what he did. Got away from the sea. God sent a snake to kill him. They have this preconceived idea of how God's going to judge this man. He must be evil. But I want to see what Paul did. Paul shook it off. Paul shook off what to me would have been the most scary thing. The snake bite from a venomous snake. The islanders knew that it was one that was deadly. Paul just shakes it off. Because Paul knew, it doesn't tell us this, but Paul knew a couple things. He had a promise from God that he would stand before Caesar. So he knew that even if this was a poisonous snake, this is not going to kill me. God's already promised me back on the boat, back in the middle of the last storm, that I'm going to make it to stand before Caesar. He remembered God's promises. And so the storm or the bad situation he was in did not overcome him because he knew God's promises. So many times my focus is on the storm or my focus is on the viper instead of the fact that God's already promised to get me through this situation. The situations are bad. It's a deadly viper. It's a 15-day storm. It's things that can kill you. But his promise from God was, I've got you. I've got you through the storm, and I've got you through the viper, and I've got you through the cold, and I've got you through the rain, and everything you face, Paul, I've got you. That's the same promises you and I have. But too many times, when I go through a situation that seems like it's out of my control, it is out of my control, but when it seems like it's something that's totally devastating, man, I would be like a viper on my hand screaming and hollering and shouting and panicking because I lose sight of the promise of God. And not only the promise of God, that Paul knew he would stand before Caesar, but he shook it off because he could remember what God had done in the past. So when you and I are in that storm, we can be like Paul. And Paul's sitting here, he says, well, this snake's not going to kill me because God got me through the storm. He'll get me through the snake. The things that God had done for Paul in his life, where he'd been stoned and left for dead, he'd been beat, 39 lashes more than once. He drew on what God had done for him in the past. And he knew that same God that pulled him through all of those things. Now, did he come out unscathed? No. But he came out. So when we go through those storms, we know the promises that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can overtake us if we stay with Him, if we stay with the ship. Too many times we want to bail. We want to, well, maybe this is a better way. God says, no, you stay with me on the ship. Stay on the ship. Remember what He's done for you in the past. Now, we had some great, awesome testimonies tonight, and every testimony is awesome. Don't get me wrong. Every testimony we have is awesome. But sometimes we forget to look back. And we don't want to live looking back. But when I look back when I hear you guys share these testimonies that I've never heard before, and you share those, it reminds me that that's the power of my God. And I can draw from that going into the storm tomorrow, sticking my hand in the bushel of sticks. I can deal with it because I know God has got me through things like that before. I know of the power of God. I know of the promise of God. And I know of the purpose of God. He's going to bring him through this to bring glory to God. So after they watched him for a long time and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, "He's a God." Now, this is a scary thing. But this is what the world wants to do. If they can't take you down by saying you're terrible, they'll take you down by putting you on a pedestal. Because, man, that's what people want to hear. And look at me. And when they get you on that pedestal, you're just as in bad a shape as if you were down there doing something in the gutter. Because you and I don't belong on that pedestal. But they said, "Oh, he must be a God." And in that region, there was an estate leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received Paul and those with him and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. That's basically from infected, unclean water. Yeah, it was just a sickness. And Paul went to him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided things as were necessary. When they realized that Paul's doing the things he's doing for the right reason, it wasn't he was a God. He was serving his God. Had they not watched him go through the fire and the snake, had they not watched him come out of the sea, come out of the storm, had he responded differently, would he have had these opportunities? I don't know. But they watched how he handled himself in the bad things, in the fire and the snake. They watched him. They made up their mind, but they watched him. Didn't change what he did. He still lived like he was supposed to be living. Then they watched him in the positive things. Man, we're giving him all this stuff. He's been invited into the ruler's house. All these people are coming to him. So they watched him in the bad things, and they watched him in the good things. And Paul lived the same through both. Because he knew the promise, the past, and the purpose that God had for him. You have to live every day. Paul lived every day looking forward to the purpose to glorify and honor his God. He was going to share about his God. He was going to love and heal and minister for his God. And he was going to walk through the storms. He was going to fight off the snakes. He was going to shake off all the bad things. Say, "I can handle it. Because I know my God will get me through." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the many things you bring us through. Lord, I pray that you help us to live the same through the storm and through the good. Lord, help us to honor you. Lord, may those that watch our lives, may they see Jesus in us. May they honor You. May they draw close to You. May it never be about us. May it always be about Jesus. We thank You and praise You for the opportunity to live for You and to love You, to accept Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us. In His precious name we pray. Amen.